I thank you for allowing me to share my story with you today. I know that you're not obligated to do so. There are no longer any more appeals available to me. My judgment has been made. But I wanted to let you know the reason for my hope as I face the coming day of my execution. You see, many years ago now, a completely unforeseen change happened in my life. It rearranged everything that I had ever thought was important. Caused me to rethink my goals in life. I was no longer the same person. I was born in the city of Tarsus in Cilicia. My father was a Roman citizen, but he was a Hebrew by birth. And I spent my young childhood growing into an adult in Judea under very strict training to become a Pharisee. And I learned under the very best. Gamaliel was my teacher. He was well known among our people as being a fair and righteous man. And I studied hard, and I studied with purpose, and very few could even hope to come close to matching me in my zeal for the Lord and my commitment to His law. I wanted to live my life to the glory of God Almighty through the keeping of His law, through the teaching of His word, for living the life commanded us. And that's why I hated the followers of the way with such intensity and passion. Here was a sect of Jewish men from Galilee who were going around the countryside saying the most ridiculous things. Following a leader that was understood to be nothing more than a blasphemer and a criminal, a leader who ultimately died on a Roman cross because he was leading the people of Judea and Galilee astray. Promising to be a king, no less. It was absurd. It was ridiculous. And so he had to die. But what confused our leadership was that his death did not stop them. They kept preaching in the name of this blasphemer. They kept doing wonders, they said, in his name. Instead of running away and hiding, they were in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem, at the temple itself, teaching and preaching in this name. And they had been warned, and they had been beaten, and they had been jailed, and they would not stop. They were even saying that after his death, he had come back to life. I know, it's so foolish, isn't it? Dead people don't come back to life. But that's what they were saying. They were winning converts. They had to be stopped. And because I followed the law of my Father God so intently, I volunteered for the job. And I wanted to see this way destroyed. They were leading people from the truth. The truth of my fellow Pharisees had been proclaiming for a long time. They had to be crushed. But I wasn't content to go after the ones that were easy to find. Followers of the way in Jerusalem and Judea were many. And we were able to track them down and have them arrested quickly. But I wanted to see this following destroyed wherever it may be. And I heard there were some refugees from Jerusalem who had run to Damascus, hiding from the authorities. And I asked the high priest if I could have warrants to bring them back to Jerusalem for trial. They had to be stopped. And it was on the way to Damascus that the earth-shattering change happened in my life. We were near the city when a brilliant light began to show in the sky. It even was so bright it outshone the sun. So bright all of us fell to the ground, terrified of what was about to happen. What could possibly explain it? And then I heard a voice from out of the light. No one else heard it, but I clearly heard a voice, and what it said confused me. Call me by name. Saul! Saul! Why are you persecuting me? I knew this couldn't just be an ordinary situation. The light had now blinded me. He knows my name. So I cried out with as much respect as I could muster, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am a well-educated man. I can debate the law to this day. I can do the law debate of question and answer." I was not ready for his answer. When I asked, "Who are you?" he declared, "I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And it is so hard for you to kick against the ox goads." This was impossible. It could not be happening, and yet it was. And I am overwhelmed when he said that. My eyes were blinded, but suddenly my heart was open, and I asked him, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And in that brief moment, my entire life changed. I had imposed upon me a calling, a purpose that I would never have dreamed possible. At that one moment, I was now ready to listen and commit to anything this one I have been trying to eradicate. Whatever he told me to do, I was going to do. My entire life, I can no longer travel the path I have been traveling. And he did tell me what to do. He told me to go into the city of Damascus. And there I would meet a man named Ananias. He turned out to be a very godly Jew, a man who truly loved the Lord. And when I was led to Ananias' home, and he spoke over me, he prophesied and told me to look up. And when I looked up, I could see again. And then he told me what Jesus wanted me to do. This man of Nazareth, this one I called Lord. years later. At my trial in Jerusalem, I would share with King Agrippa the words that Jesus spoke to me. He said, "You're going to be my servant. And I'm going to deliver you from the hands of the people and the Gentiles, and I am going to send you to the Gentiles to tell them about the life, about the truth, about the light that was going to shine in their lives and their hearts. You are going to tell them that they can have the salvation of the Lord." You will be my light to the Gentiles. Again, remember, I was so committed to my Jewish way of life, I even spoke Hebrew in my day-to-day life with my friends and family. I believed the Gentiles were lost from any hope. They were the outsider. They were the foreigner who did not know God. They were the persecutor of my people. They had no hope. And now this Christ said, they're the ones I'm sending you to. And from that moment on, my life was reoriented. I spent time alone with Christ in the wilderness, learning from Him. He said, "You're going to tell them what you've seen to me and what you will see," and He showed me much. And I entered into the world with very good and godly friends who walked alongside me. When the moment came, the Spirit of God told the church, "Send Saul and Barnabas now." And so I have faithfully proclaimed the death and resurrection of the Lord. Yes, I know. I told you that it sounded foolish to me, and it did. But what could I say? He proved Himself. The talk of the resurrection is not wishful thinking by a bunch of frightened, superstitious fools. After His death and resurrection, Jesus appeared to many. First, He came to His apostles and the women who had so faithfully served Him. And then, He appeared to members of His own family who before His death and resurrection thought He was crazy. Later, He went up to Galilee and appeared to hundreds at one time. And then finally, on the road to Damascus, to a man who never laid eyes on Him during His earthly life, He appeared to me. I was a witness born out of time. And He came to me. Why is it so important to talk about resurrection when the rest of the world thinks it's foolish? The cross and the empty tomb do not make sense either to Jew or Gentile alike, apart from the work of the Spirit calling. It doesn't make sense to them. People don't come back from crucifixion, but He did. Why is it so important for me to talk about this, for me to go and tell people not only did he die for you, he lives for you. Let me make this as clear as I can. For several years, Jesus walked this earth, teaching, doing wonders, showing people how to live. And he prepared his disciples and the original and told them that he had to die, that this was the plan of God. And he did, in fact, go to the cross. And this is where resurrection becomes so very important. If Father God had not raised Jesus from the dead, his death would have meant nothing. The life he lived, the words he taught, the miracles he worked, the death he died would all have been empty if he had stayed in that tomb. Because he hinged all of his promises of life eternal on this truth. The Son of Man is going to give his life a ransom for many. And 3 days after his death, he will rise. Without that resurrection, his death would have been a mistake. His death would have been a tragedy. It would have been a death brought to someone who had gotten the wrong people mad. And that's all it would have been. If he did not come out of that tomb, then the decades I've spent in my life preaching the good news of Christ were futile. If he had stayed in that tomb, I have wasted decades. If he had stayed in that tomb, the faith of those I call brother and sister, our very faith, the bedrock of what we believe about Jesus, would have been a lie. It would have been wishful thinking that meant nothing. If he had remained in that tomb, we would not be forgiven. We would be trapped in the sin that has enchained us, enslaved us, from the fall of Adam and Eve. And if he had remained in that tomb, every brother I've known, every sister I've spoken with, every person I've walked in communion with who has died, is forever gone. If he stayed in that tomb, we are all fools to be pitied. But he didn't stay in the tomb. He did not stay in a place of decay and death. God the Father raised him up. And he came to us. Sometimes one by one, sometimes in huge crowds, but he came to us. And let us know I am alive. And because He is, we have hope. You wonder why? You've asked me why. I am facing death. A brutal death. And I still have hope. This is the reason. My Christ is alive. My Savior is with me. And the hope He brings is real. And across the empire, more and more people are coming to know that Christ is risen indeed. And there is hope. And you can have that same hope. As the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you've heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you will believe that He is raised from the dead, you can be saved. With confession that He is Lord, we're justified, or with belief that He is raised from dead, we're justified. With confession, we are saved. We can be, you can be a child of God. He's alive. And I know it makes no sense the way the world thinks. But our Christ is greater than the world. In a few days, I will leave this world. And I will finally see in all of His glory the Lord who died for me. The Lord who lives for me. He is alive. My friends, every Sunday when the church gathers together, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. That's why we meet. That's why the church moved from a Sabbath worship to a worship on the Lord's Day, because the early church by mid-first century was saying, Christ is alive, He has risen, and we are going to celebrate that. So when we talk about resurrection, we really shouldn't save it for one time in the year in spring. He's alive. And the world doesn't get it. And the world will mock. And the world will try to quiet the testimony of our Lord. But for 2,000 years, followers of Christ have faithfully and honestly shared, Christ has changed my life. He can change yours. Now, you may be here today, and you may be one of those who think that, you know, you're here for whatever reason. Maybe years ago, Mama made you feel really guilty, so you, every once in a while, go to church. Maybe you come because this is what you've been used to doing. But if you do not know the Christ, He's here, waiting. Loving, calling. most of us here are professing believers. Well, folks, let's move beyond just believers to followers of Christ who will proclaim Christ has died. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Pray with me. Almighty God, I come to you in the name that is above all names, thanking you that in your amazing, spectacular grace, you came to us not when we were deserving, not when we were good little children. You came to us when we were fighting you. We may not have been like Paul trying to destroy other people's faith, but Father, you came to us in our rebellion. You came to us when we were sinners. You came to us. And you said, I love you. And I want you to follow me. Help us understand that there are many more out there who are fighting, who are running, who are refusing to see the truth. And cause us to understand, Father, that your word declares they cannot hear the truth unless someone is sent. So, Father, send us. Send us into the lives of family members and friends. Send us into the lives of co-workers and strangers, sharing the good news that we have found in Jesus Christ, committing us to your purpose and your plan. And Father, if there is someone here today who doesn't know you, you are speaking to their hearts right now. I pray that you bring them home today to your great glory and honor. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior. It's in His strong name we pray. Amen.